Preview.
Are we in? We're in. Episode 65. We only have this one monitor because we're using the cool graphics, but a new monitor comes soon.
Awesome.
Episode 65, Mainline Marlins Podcast, David Winker, Tommy Stitt. Interesting weekend of baseball in LA for the Marlins, but we'll talk about that at the end because we've got a special guest that we've been trying to get in for an interview for a little while. No, this guy is super busy, but it's the owner of the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, our Marlins AA affiliate this season, Quint Studer. Quint, how are you this morning?
You guys. Thank you.
Oh, hey, thanks. So, David, I know you got a lot of questions about how Quint got into baseball and that whole thing. Now, Bubba Watson's one of the part owners. Take it away.
No, so exciting. So glad to have you here. I got to tell you, I think you guys have one of the – I always say two of the nicest ballparks in America are the Wahoo Stadium, and the other one that I put up there is Pepperdine's. Malibu, it kind of has that same feel of the ocean. So this weekend there was, every time I see a Wahoos game coverage, they show that shot from the press box with that. It looked like there was a Coast Guard cutter out there this weekend.
Yeah, there's always something, on Sundays, the Blue Angels are coming home. So they always fly over the stadium on their way home. And, it just shows location is so important because it was not an expensive stadium. It was $18 million stadium, $15 million public. Yet the right location with the right view and the right culture can certainly create a magical experience for our fans.
So what has it been like, your relationship with the Marlins? This is your first year as an affiliate team with us. How has that experience been? And then it seems like you guys got some of the really most exciting players and prospects there in Pensacola, and Max Meyer and J.J. Bede, Peyton Burdick, and some others. So talk about that for a minute, if you can.
Well, I think it's really unknown because of COVID and MLB. And I agree, I'm the chair of the operations committee for Major League Baseball over all 120 minor league teams. They're such protective of the players. So, for example, normally at this time, I would at least went in the locker room, introduced myself, talked to the people. We aren't doing that. It's so protective that we really don't have any interaction. We have one person, and they call it the bubble person, on our staff that can go in and sort of help the staff. So really don't have much of a relationship yet. I think it'll build. Jeff will be here. The head of minor league baseball will be here Tuesday for this home series. So we'll get to know the Marlins a little bit better. And, the working with Jeff has been just excellent. He's been fine, but it's just a different type of year than we've ever had because of the COVID restrictions on the players.
So what's the ballpark experience for a fan that comes out to see you guys play?
Sure. Well, we have lots of rules and regulations. We want the people to have fun. So it starts with making our staff have fun. So we want them to, when they get a ticket, we want them to be greeted. We want, we do a lot of work in job development. My background was placing students with people with special needs and jobs. So we really try to create a wonderful atmosphere for workforce training. By the time a person sits in their seat, three or four people will greet them. We don't point. We walk people to where they're going, and we measure fan experience probably more intently than anyone, because that's what I write books on customer experience. And our fan experience net promoter score, which is number of 9 or 10s reduced by the 6, normally defeats anything that a Ritz-Carlton or a Disney has. So we just want to create some people say, well, we have great fan experience, but they don't measure it. Or we have great employee engagement, but they don't measure it. So we actually measure it very specifically and follow up. And what's really great is even when we have a miss, if we follow up quickly and apologize and fix it, the people are so grateful that we followed up and acknowledge their concern and are doing everything we can to what we call service recovery.
Right. That is so cool. I love that. I did not know that was your background. And it's interesting that you found your way to minor league baseball, which has such a reputation of, what would you call it? Like almost a barnstorming attitude of like, we got to earn these fans' attention.
Right. Which kind of leads into my next question that I wanted to ask. And one of the coolest things about minor league baseball are the crazy fun promotions that you guys do. I know you guys on Thursday do, it's the mullet night on Thursday, but I'm sure you have a bunch of other really fun promotions. Tell us about some of those and how you guys came up with some of those ideas.
Yeah, I think what really helped me, guys, is I started out in independent baseball. And when you start out in independent baseball, you don't think, oh, because we have affiliated players, that's all we need. Because even though you're excited about these, you know, Marlin prospects being here, 95% of our fans have no idea who these Marlin prospects are. And we want to make sure those 90-95% have a great time. So the fact that I was in independent baseball over for 9 years, where you know you're not going to push, you're going to see this guy in the majors, you're going to see this. It's all about creating that experience. And having been able to be in the same league with somebody like the St. Paul Saints was very helpful. We learned a lot from them. So I think that's the key. And I think the promotions really vary. It's to keep the fan engaged. Probably the promotions that are really popular this year is we have a great dance team that goes throughout the out the stands, just constantly leading. We want to create a SEC type college atmosphere, football atmosphere in our baseball stadium. And probably the thing we've gotten noted for the most, actually, this last year, of course, was our Airbnb that we ran at the stadium. And that, you know, that became national news. We're on the Today Show. We were everywhere. So, you know, it's just that interaction, that fun. And we do probably what every other team does, you know, but for your own community, they don't compare you to other teams. And so I've been Saturday night, we probably had 500 kids running across, you know, every game they run across the outfield, and it's tons of kids to the umpires' pure frustration, because we go way longer than 90 seconds as these kids. I think sometimes the umpires want to go grab the kid and run across the outfield. Right.
Well, speaking of which, so I saw national coverage of the interruption that happened in the game this weekend, right?
Which one was that?
One of the kids ran on the field.
Yeah, we just have a little bit of fun, and you know, because the stadium's open all the time. We don't lock the stadium; it's open all the time. So it's sort of like a fun place to hang out. And kids just sort of think that's their playground. They don't understand why these ball players are playing on their playground,
playing on their grass. That is so cool. I got to tell you, it's interesting. I've been to a couple games back in the day when it was a Reds affiliate. That's what it was, but right immediately before this, right?
And then the Twins. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was the Twins for 1 year. It was the Reds for 8.
Gotcha. So I've been there when it was the Reds. But it was interesting because I was a couple of years, like right before the pandemic, I went to Jacksonville and I'm there with my wife and my daughter, and my wife's in a bad mood. She's like, why are we stopping at this empty stadium? And I literally I wanted to see the stadium, and I walked up and I like yelled through the gate. There was someone there, and I'm like, hey, I want to you guys do tours? No, we don't. But basically the guy gave me a tour, and it just had this feeling of like, this is minor league baseball. You know, the jumbo shrimp are working hard, and here you guys are doing your thing. We are so excited. We can't wait to go. We spoke earlier with
Katie Florio, your communications director, and then what, on field reporter.
Oh my God.
She is amazing.
And she brought it. I mean, like, she was the feedback we got from her, the high energy that she brought, the love of the game. I mean, I got to tell you something. You hit it out of the ballpark with her, because she was very impressive.
Big time.
And then I will tell you, she did you talk about marketing. She did her background was the press box view of Pensacola Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty awesome. No,
she's great. And, you know, she represents everything we want. We tell the staff every day, we ask them to do two things: bring high energy and high fun. Because I think if the staff's having fun, it's contagious that the fans will have fun. So we really push that high fun, high energy.
Tell me, we're talking a lot about fun. Tell me about the challenges this year. Like, what's some of the hard work that you've got, that you and the organization have to do this year?
Well, the hard work's not for me, because I'm the key of foisting work on other people. If you ever want an expert on delegation, I am your guy. I know how to delegate. And I think the challenges was the do you need pods? Don't you need pods? Where are you going to sit your fans? How are you going to sit your fans? You know, at one time we were looking at almost moving every season ticket holder to a new seat because of limited capacity. So it's the constant, just making sure you're adjusting, having a buffer zone, not having a buffer zone. Our fans have adjusted really well. I thought they'd be upset they couldn't get autographs this year. They couldn't get as close to the players this year, but they've adjusted extremely well. And any type of change like this just makes you have more fun. The fact that we thought we weren't going to be able to do things on the field has actually been a benefit, because we're doing a lot more in the stands now, a lot more in the concourse. And some of these things we'll keep doing because people like them. You know, they sort of like knowing the five military mascots are up in the concourse or where they can go. And excuse me, we've built a lot more ushers, you know, really pushing our ushers to really create entertainment in the fans instead of waiting for it just to be on the field. So it's been making, you know, any great organizations learns how to pivot.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I would say as a couple impressions as a fan, we went to spring training. And I'll never forget that first spring training game, getting out of the car. We were at a Washington Nationals, I think Astros game. No, Marlins.
Marlins versus Astros.
Marlins Astros, that's what it was. And as we're getting out of the car, you know, in the grass field, the every fan getting out, you know, everyone had a hat other than Marlins Astros, right? Everyone was just so grateful to be going to baseball. And this, the spring in everyone's step. And I think that you are a little bit of a beneficiary of that. Like, people are so happy to get back to normal.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. I think in retrospect, we're going to be looking back on what role sports played in keeping our sanity through this, and sports showing that, you know, we can continue with these protections and do a bubble and do this. So I think that the hard work's going to pay off, because I think there's a level of gratitude. I've been going to games, and I'll tell you this, I know the frustration of the season ticket holders, because I, you know, a lot of my friends are season ticket holders for college baseball down here. For Canes baseball is a big deal, and they really clamp down because it's college. I think part of one of the reasons too, and they're not there to make money. They're there to make sure these college kids don't get sick. And so there's more scouts there than there are fans. I mean, there's like 150 fans in the whole stadium. And it did frustrate people, and the school had to really work on the outreach and say, like, we're sorry, you can only have one ticket. You know, you have four tickets. You've had four tickets for 45 years. You get one ticket. Right. And so I know what you're dealing with that a little bit. So I know I appreciate that perspective.
But Quinn, has there been pretty much sellout since the season opener, right?
Yeah, we've done really well. we've done really well with attendance, better than I thought. Actually, I thought there'd be a little more conservatives, but we've been really good. If somebody says to us, hey, I'm a little concerned, I don't want to lose my seats, can I just move them into next year or later on in the year? We say, sure, go ahead. We have something here called Ticket Share, where anybody can put, we're like the SubHub locally. And we've told all our season ticket holders, if you're not comfortable, we'll sell your tickets to somebody else, but we'll reserve them for you. So when you do want them back, you have your same seat. So, and, you know, it is capturing. You know, yesterday after the game, I stuck around after the game and just watched kids run the bases. It sounds a little goofy, but I just wanted to have that feeling of watching. I love, my wife and I didn't, you know, our mission of our team is not to baseball. Baseball is not even in our mission statements. It's to improve the quality of life for people in the community. So what we love the most, when people ask me, what's your favorite part of the game? It's always something to do with kids and fans just having a good time and feeling like, you know, that they live in a good place and are having a lot of fun. So I sometimes leave, but yesterday I just watched kids running bases and then watch kids go in the outfield and play catch. And I think you're right. People want, they might know they'll never get back to what it used to be, but they want to get as close as they could be to what it used to be.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And that is great. One thing I wanted to ask you about is how, you know, so we have listeners, the big Marlins fans, they're paying attention to the farm league, but if they want to watch a game, are the games streamed? Is there an app? Like what can fans do to tune in?
Yeah. All our games are on MLB TV. They can watch them. If they have Cox Sports Network, we're pretty lucky. Almost half our games, home games, are televised on Cox sports television in 11 states. We cover 11 states. For some reason, Cox picked us and they've stayed with us and they like us. So we get to go in 11 states. And of course, you can always go on to again, MLB TV or MLB Hit Audio, and all our games are on radio via streaming. Our broadcaster is a name that probably some people my age at least will recognize, Gargiola, Chris Gargiola. Mm-hmm. That's Joe Gargiola's grandson, is our announcer. And so that's it. And so you can watch our games, and they do a really nice job. We are one of the early minor league teams to go to HD cameras for everything. You know, our whole goal is to run a major league operation, and the only difference between us and major league is the number of seats available. We want to run a major league operation at all times.
I love it. That's so cool. Last question. I was looking again. You know, I only see the pictures and the short videos on, you know, whatever the Twitter feed is. You know, there's a good social media presence. What was the background of those uniforms this weekend?
Which ones? We have so many uniforms.
It almost looked like a 70s.
Well, the mullet. That's on Thursday.
That's the mullet.
Mullet heads. Yeah.
No, that was a 70s look. Yeah, I like that too. I don't know. Maybe
with a 70s look. What was that's the mullet?
Mullets.
One?
Yeah.
No. We had mullets on Thursday, which was
pretty This neat. Was Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. One of the games we did the we have a number of different uniforms, but one of the games we do the mullet, which we have the fake hair on the back of the uniform, which was we do that as a tribute to when Bubba Watson used to wear a mullet. And then we I love that 70s look. I thought maybe we did it because the White Sox were in town. You know, remember?
Yeah, that's what it looked like. I'll show it to Tommy. It's so ugly. It's awesome. It's like, I hope that doesn't offend you, but it's like, it's so distinctive looking. And so I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but yeah, it's like a White Sox 70s uniform, and the colors, it's like blue and red. It's such a funny color combo.
Oh, wow.
I'm from Chicago. So it reminded me of the White Sox jerseys that they wear sort of like that. And we're pretty creative. And I think that's one of the nice parts. I think the benefit of minor league baseball, and I bet you major league baseball wishes that they were more like minor league baseball, that it wasn't so geared on. You hear major league baseball, somebody said, well, I'm not going to the game because the team sucks this year. Well, in minor league baseball, that's just the way it goes. People come to the games not for the won losses. We had our best attendance year when we were out of 160 affiliated teams. We had the 159th record. And we had a great attendance year. And people here still think Billy Hamilton's the greatest baseball player that ever graced the earth.
I love it. I got to tell you, it's so funny you say it, because I always say, like, there's sports fans like Tommy and I, like old school. It's like it's like a restaurant. And then the restaurant's not good. And guess you just still go, like you go and you eat the food because that's where you go to eat. Right. And then there's I think the more modern fan is like, why am I going to go to a terrible restaurant? You know, and it's kind of like the old fan. You know, we grew up in the 70s with the fans with the sack over the head, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You still go. You don't want to be seen there, but you go watch the game. So I love that attitude. You know, it's interesting. You're independent baseball. So how long have you owned the Wahoos?
Well, I've owned the Wahoos since 2011. I bought them when they were in Zebulon, North Carolina. They played in 2011 there, and then our stadium opened in 2012. Right. So I've been almost affiliated the exact same amount of years as independent, and I am so grateful I had an independent team because I think it really prepared me well for affiliates. So it's a real adjustment for some of our employees because they come in loving baseball, and then we tell them, well, but we're an entertainment business. And baseball is just part of what we do. Now, we do try to do a great job for the serious fans. We have great stats. You know, I've learned that with serious fans, the radar gun is a life or death situation. And I give everybody my cell phone number. Every fan gets my cell phone number. And I know when the radar gun's not working because my phone lights up because this is leaking off the radar gun.
Yeah, I love that. We must be hardcore fans because we were at Palm Beach and there's something wrong with the radar gun.
Yeah, it was
like
registering
54. Like, dude. Yeah.
You gotta see a pitch count too. I need a pitch.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We want the pitch count. And you know, we do like, and I do like when they flash the pitch, right? I mean, I do like when they put the pitch up. I think the hardcore fans are like, I can figure out what the pitch is. I don't need you to tell me it was a curveball or a changeup. I will tell you, it's funny, the independent baseball thing is, my wife's from Houston, And so I've been to some Sugar Land Skeeters games out there, and they're very famous because Clemens came and pitched for them. Right. Remember? And that was independent baseball for a long time. And this year they just worked it. It's a beautiful stadium. It's one of these stadiums that has a big hot tub in it. Like all the fans go in. It's just over the top experience. And they were rewarded, I think, single A, but they were rewarded with the Houston, the Astros, or an Astros affiliate now. And, you know, everyone was really, I think in baseball, everyone was really happy that they got back, you know, from the independent league into it for the fan experience. So I got to tell you, I love minor league baseball. I grew up in Western Canada. I grew up going to Edmonton Trappers games. And I always tell the story of going to Edmonton Trappers games. At the time it was a Triple A, so high level baseball. But then I would go from that old stadium and watch Major League Baseball in Canada was either at the Sky Dome or at the Olympic Stadium to watch Expos. And that was that like yucky 70s, you know, like almost looked like it was playing on a parking lot, a green parking lot type thing. And so like I like my little local stadium, right, with real grass and, you know, being outside and stuff. So my kind of formative baseball experience was the minor leagues. And I think that's a majority of Americans, right? Yeah. I mean, majority of Americans don't have the luxury of going to Marlins Stadium every night or going to Fenway or going to Wrigley.
And I think as things open up later on this summer, people are, because of the hype and the excitement around some of these prospects like JJ Bleday and Max, they're going to be willing to make the trip to Pensacola from South Florida.
Yeah. I got to say, we're paying attention. And that's the one thing I'd say is you talk about hardcore baseball fans. That is amazing. Like we were amazed at how the what you guys got dealt. I mean, you know, like it's really great high level baseball you guys are getting to see in Pensacola.
Yeah.
Well, the Marlins actually, when the realignment came, the Marlins were selected as the big winner in realignment because they picked up Pensacola. They go Jupiter, Pensacola. I talked to Ken Babby the other day. We're going to be doing some exchange programs, you know, win a trip here to go to Jacksonville. Jacksonville wins a trip here. We did that with the Twins. We hope we can do things with the Marlins where we pay for fans to win a trip to come see future Marlins, things like that. And of course, then they also are going to pick up Beloit, which is going to, I think, have one of the best minor league stadiums in all. Heck, I think they're going to have one of the best stadiums in all of baseball.
There's still snow up there right now.
Yeah, it's so cool. Oh. This is awesome. Yeah, I got to tell you something. I was really suspicious of the whole realignment, not vis-a-vis the Marlins. I mean, personally, I was very excited to get the Wahoos, having gone to Wahoos games. It made perfect sense to me. You know, I'm a lawyer here in Miami. I travel the state, you know, in normal times. And I love being in Jacksonville and being able to go to a game, right? And I love that it's my affiliate. And I think that it's cool that they've realigned it, you know, closer. I was suspicious, but it seems like overall the minor league teams are happy with the realignment. Statewide or nationwide? Is that the feeling?
I think so. I think, again, I'm on the operations committee, so I'm closer to it. I think what people have to do, specifically major minor league owners, is separate the realignment with COVID. So, for example, you'll hear minor league owners upset they have to have three buses versus one, some of the COVID things. But that has nothing to do with Major League Baseball. So I think the realignment, I think Major League Baseball has gone out of their way to be extremely flexible with us. And, you know, what they wanted was good facilities for their players, good nutritional meals for their players, better hotels to stay in, and good buses. And I think it's all about player development. If I had millions of dollars in these ball players, I'd be wanting the exact same thing that Major League wanted. So we're excited. We had Bubba Watson and Derek Brooks spoke at the Marlins Captain Camp this year, where the Marlins bring in their key prospects and have people talk about leadership and accountability. So the fact that we had both Bubba Watson and Derek Brooks, who many people know, and he played with Florida State and Tampa, he's a minority owner of the Wahoos too. So they were very excited to be part of the captain's camp with the Marlins.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's interesting because I've often thought about, you know, part of the minor leagues is just teaching young men the craft of being professional baseball players.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, I love talking to you. And listen, you know, it's all these are lessons in life. These are lessons in, you know, so it's like you have the fan side, but then also what you're, you know, how you're training young men how to go about being a professional baseball player. And I saw the other day they reduced the travel. I think the average travel now is from down from 12,000 to 8,000 miles because of the realignment.
Right.
And saying, you know, they're trying to make the experience better for the ball players. So it's really interesting perspective.
I like the 6-game homestand. You know, we always played 5-game homestands here in the Southern League. But, you know, for scouts to be able to look the entire starting rotation instead of going, I didn't ever like where some of these leagues did 3 games or 4 games to sort of be more like major league. But for minor leagues, just going to longer homestands reduces the travel, reduces the wear and tear. And it's wonderful for player development because you do get to see the entire starting rotation all in one setting. So I think, once a decision is made, then the goal is to make it as successful as at all possible.
Right on. Well, Mr. Studer, we're just so grateful.
Oh, my God, Mr. Studer, you got me pumped. I'm ready to come up.
We're just so grateful you were able to come on. Hope we can bring you back as the season progresses and kind of get an update and, as the ballpark opens up a little bit more, kind of what the fans can expect, because I'm sure we're going to want to make the trek up there, as will many others from South Florida.
Yeah, my cell phone number is 850-232-4648. My email is quint@quintstuder.com. Anything we can do to be helpful to you and to any of your listeners, we'd certainly appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, thank
Mr.
you.
Mr.
So
Studer,
much.
You're awesome, man. I really appreciate you coming on, man. That was really cool.
Yeah, thanks so much. Best of luck this season, sir.
Yay, we're 6-0 because we had great fan experience for all 6 games. And I tell people our won and loss record is in the stands and not on the field.
Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you.
Have a great week.
Yeah, you got it. Take care. All right, Winker.
Wow. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to walk through a brick wall.
But how cool is that? That the whole thing is all about the fan experience.
That's
when so many places, it's really not about that.
No, people love. That's why people love minor league. It was funny. I was, as you know, I go to Canes games.
Yeah.
With and it's interesting because we were talking about minor league hockey here, and he would go to minor league hockey, and we would go to the games together. I mean, we had gone to the games in the past, and he said, I love minor league hockey. And it's kind of like, you know, it's like, I love minor league baseball. And why do we love it? People don't really think about it, but it's like, it is that hustle.
Yeah.
Like that guy is, Mr. Studer is
hustling
and making, you know, and cares what is your experience at the ballpark.
And he's creating that whole culture with all his staff and all the people around the program.
Anyway, and I got to tell you something too. It was funny hearing him talk about how, balancing that with the hardcore too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have a hardcore contingent that wants.
The guy just gave out his cell phone. For people that are.
It's 850. I always love when I hear
people that are complaining when the radar gun is not working. Call me. I'll get the guy. Yeah, I'll find the,
I love it.
The maintenance guy that fixes that.
I love it.
The technician. Let's just talk quickly about what happened against the Dodgers. We split with Arizona, ended up winning the season series, splitting that series. Bats were pretty decent. Then we came into the gauntlet of Clayton Kershaw, Bauer.
I felt, you know what it felt like to me? Is like now with the big boys.
Yeah, the real guys.
And I got to tell you something. It was funny because it coincided with, again, I'm going to talk about hockey, but the Panthers started the playoffs against the defending Stanley Cup champions, Tampa Bay. The Panthers had beaten the crap out of the Tampa Bay in the season. Game one of Stanley Cup playoffs. Guess what happens?
Spanked.
Not spanked, but you know, Tampa Bay looked like a completely different team. Yeah, it's like they they were tougher, meaner. Like it was funny seeing like sometimes when you run against these championship teams, they know what it takes to win. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was funny watching that game last night after watching the Marlins, and the Marlins kind of had that same feel. It's like, oh, you want to play some baseball?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like LA brings it, man. Big LA time. Was tough. Those pitchers.
Yeah. Yeah, brutal. 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 I thought today I was going to do the Santeria show because the bats weren't going to come back alive. But Duvall, I mean, this is the reason we got this guy.
Yep.
Not only is it a great defensive outfielder, as we saw yesterday in that laser he fired, that guy was like 3 seconds before the guy even got to the plate.
Yep.
And then hits a 3-run bomb and we win the game. That guy's crucial to our success going forward. Obviously, Jesus Aguilar, who's been on a tear lately, Miggy, Brian Anderson's bat is starting to come around. I'm not 100% secure in his bat right now, but look, anything is better than nothing. So look, Duvall, I've been a big fan of that guy the moment we got him, and he slumped hard. When you go 0-14 or 0-19, everybody's like, this guy's a bum. No, just wait, let him get the groove. He'll find it. And he's found it. And you know, that helped us come over the hump. I'm glad to get one out of those guys against the Dodgers.
It's funny you say that, because I didn't feel bad. It's like, that's a good baseball team. And we went up against the,
yeah, yeah. But they were slumping too. They were lost 15 out of 20.
Yeah.
Before they came into that game against us. So,
to lay out the week for us, what do we got?
We got the day off. Then we go to, thank God, rest up those weary bones. And then tomorrow against Philly for three. And then back here on Friday against the freaking Mets.
So the guys
first
are
place
flying.
In the league. I mean, in the division.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to be going to Mets with Mike Rapkowski. Yep. We're going to have him in to give the stupid, the
we ought to have that Friday.
Terrible Mets.
Well, we still have to get Jose.
Yeah, we'll get that going. For Thursday. We're doing Thursday this week.
Thursday. We got Weenie Wednesday still again with our bettors. I did have a conversation with Marcus Arias over the weekend. He went to a Columbus playoff game and was with the team doing that. So I couldn't get him in the studio this weekend. However, when he gets back, he's going to try to bring on Nomar, those guys together on a stream with us. And because those guys are going to bring that Garcia Parra Baseball School to Miami
Cool.
for a new location.
So awesome.
Super excited.
Good stuff.
All right. Episode 65.
Thank you.
We don't need to flip the end. We're taking a nap.
Yeah, exactly.
Boys got to rest up. All right. Go fish.